Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We're Baltimore positive and positively into three victories in a row. Count them up, three. Maryland Crab Cake Tour last week. We had a great time at Pizza John's. You're going to be hearing all that this week at Coco's. I brought together two legendary chefs and friends of mine, Marcella Knight, who owns Coco's, as well as Nancy Longo down at Pierpoint. Had a phenomenal conversation about Baltimore and crab cakes and East Baltimore and Smaltimore and all that good stuff. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Had some lucky winners as well. I put a video up of two ladies that came behind me at Coco's the other day, and it really. Luke, when this thing falls apart and I finally get kicked out of the market altogether, not just the Ravens and the Orioles, and I have no audience, unlike the 2 million people that have checked out our work here in the last 28 days, I want to be a TV game show host. I feel like with the loss of Chuck Barris, with the loss of all the great Wink Martindale, all the great hosts, Alex Trebek, that there needs to be a new. I think it's going to be me because I get when I scratch these off, people win, Luke Jones. That's all I'm saying.
Great. Awesome. That sounds good.
How the Ravens doing?
Wasn't really expecting you to start our Ravens conversation with that, so I didn't
Well,
have
they
a
won 3-0. Are we in first place yet? That's all I need to know. Are we there
well,
yet? It's close, right?
it feels like it's close, especially if you watch the Steelers on Sunday night. I mean, they look bad. Like they look bad. And it even puts into context the fact that okay, they beat Indianapolis 2 weeks ago, but they forced six turnovers in that game and they still won by 7 points, right? Normally you turn a team over six times, you're wondering if you won by four touchdowns. So, but hey, as I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, when you look at the landscape of this entire AFC at this point in time, I mean, no better example than what happened to Buffalo going to Miami on Sunday afternoon. If you're the Ravens, don't worry about any of that. Just keep winning. Keep stacking wins. Kyle Hamilton said it best. I used it for my headline at BaltimorePositive.com. Ravens just need to keep adding wins to their scar tissue. That was the terminology that he used, starting 1-5. That's scar tissue, and it is, right? They still don't have the same margin for error as other teams in this conference, but they're finding ways to win. And not that Sunday was necessarily an indication that the Ravens are back to being the juggernaut that they've been in
Yeah, they
recent
still haven't
years.
looked great. We're halfway through the season, and I haven't seen a minute where they look great. That doesn't mean
But
that
they're
they won't look
winning.
great in December. That
Well,
doesn't
and
mean that they're not capable of that because we've spent 9 months here talking about how great they were going to be, and we look up and they're 1-5 and they're hurt,
right,
and
but
old, and slow, and bad in the trench. All of the things we're going to get to here all week long as we Cleveland. Oh, they're just going to roll the ball out, right? The Jets are just going to roll the ball out, right? I don't know. I don't know. Week to week, to your point, a lot of men that get paid with a lot of pride in this league. And on any given Sunday, right? That's the way it says. And the Ravens better make sure that they're as sharp as they think they can be as a playoff team, because the rest of this thing, to your point. I'm looking at the rest of it, and I like our chances.
I mean, it's just keep winning, keep getting better. I think if there's one thing you can take away from these last three wins, which again hasn't necessarily reflected that they're a juggernaut, getting ready to boat race teams week after week as we've seen them be at their absolute best, but they are getting better and they're playing better in the second half of these games. The last 10 minutes on Sunday, notwithstanding, that felt a little too weird, a little too Ravens-like, as far as just not finishing and putting away a team. The way you'd like to. But when you look at the rest of this conference, I mean, right now, Indianapolis, Denver, New England, are they truly the new elites in the AFC?
I
Or.
don't. I mean, man, I believe more in the Patriots than I do the Broncos. Like if you're giving me, because I sit here and watch it all weekend, right? Like, I mean, like everybody, red zone and stuff, Thursday night football, Sunday night, Monday night, all of that. The elite teams on record. I mean, if the Ravens had to go on a pathway of going to Indianapolis and winning and Denver and winning instead of going to Kansas City and Buffalo and winning, and hey, the Ravens are going to win the division. I mean, I'm on. November 10th, I'm on record as saying they're winning. I mean, I've been talking about that. I was talking about that when they were 1-5, when I was spanking John for being a liar, which he is. But like I said, they'd be 7-7. Hell, they're going to be 5-5, right?
Well, this is why I kept telling you if they're 7-7, something's it's not I'm not feeling good about it, right? I mean, because of this schedule. But just to go back to my point about Indy, Denver, and New England, that's not me saying they stink at all. Each of those teams is 8-2. They deserve praise. They deserved their flowers in terms of being good teams. My question is, when you look at their strength of schedule, which if you look at DVOA or ESPN's, they have their football power index. They all across the board would agree that those three teams have been among the easiest schedules in the league to date. My question simply is, are they truly heavyweights now in terms of the eyeball test, in terms of how they're going to play in January? Or are they merely the good teams that are at the top of the conference right now, record-wise, because they've had an easier schedule? I mean, Buffalo, look at how the Bills have played over the last month. Kansas City, for as much as guys like me have pointed to Kansas City and said, from an eyeball test standpoint, this might be the best offense they've had in a few years. They sat at their bye week at 5-4. They've already lost more games than they did last year. So what's crazy about this, and I was actually thinking about this, and I'm going to put it out there, and it's probably going to tick off some fans right now. The Ravens might, not might, the Ravens have a really good chance here to recover. I mean, they're one game out of the AFC North, and Pittsburgh looks bad. Like, this looks like how they looked at the end of last year, where their defense isn't great, and now their offense is suddenly fallen apart. But long way to go, fully acknowledging that, and two head-to-heads. But humor me for the possibility that the Ravens win the division, and then they're hosting someone like Buffalo or Kansas City in the first round. That would just be, I mean, after all the years of, talking about the number one seed and home field advantage and all that, it'd be great to play them at home, but not necessarily great to play them in the first round, right? So we're going to see how it all plays out. Long way to go. But again, going back to my bigger point here, no, this Ravens team has not been perfect. It's been far from perfect, even over these last three games, as they've climbed their way closer to 500. But the defense continues to get better. The offense still has Lamar Jackson and so much talent, even if they're still searching for a more consistent run game, even if they're still trying to figure things out inside the red zone. I think we see the capability there. We see the talent there, even with the concerns about the offensive line. And they're also getting contributions from their special teams as well. So you're seeing a team that's getting better, a team that, yes, has had a softer schedule that was always going to play a part in climbing back into this. Yes, a team that's healthier than they were earlier in the season that was always going to play a part, and that's going to need to continue, right? They had a couple guys get banged up, but no early indication of anything overly serious to any of their key players, but they've got to keep winning. But you look around at the rest of this conference, and it feels as wide open as the AFC has felt in a very long time. Because who are the Bills? Who are, I think the Chiefs are still really good, but Denver's 8-2 and the Chargers are 7-3, right? I mean, at some point in time, you have to acknowledge their path and how treacherous that could be for them to win the division. So just keep winning. Just keep winning and keep finding ways to get better. There were certainly things to like about Sunday's game. Well, there were also things that continue to pop up as issues for this football team, but you'll take a 27-19 win on the road. And as we kind of talked about, and I know I wrote about it, and plenty of people were writing about it, I think when you looked at this post-bye stretch, and maybe this is a little unfair to how they played in the Chicago game without Lamar, but you looked at this stretch, you kind of pointed to the Minnesota game as the one game that was the iffy game, right? This three straight road
It was the most
games.
difficult game, for sure.
Right. Yeah. And certainly the Vikings were coming off of a really impressive performance against Detroit. They're a win that was more impressive than anything the Ravens had done to this point in the season. So for them to go on the road, handle the crowd noise, handle it way better than the Vikings did. I mean, eight false starts. Are you kidding me? That was good to see. That was a, you know, that was, even if it wasn't the most impressive on the scoreboard per se, that was a big boy win. That's the kind of win, if you are truly a good team wanting to be a great team, that's the kind of game you have to find ways to win in the National Football League. It's not easy on the road. It doesn't need to be a blowout, but that's the kind of game that if you're truly serious about being a much different team than you were when you were 1-5, that's the one you need to come away with a victory. And they were able to do that. So hats off to them.
Well, if I wrote a column this off the game and I haven't yet, and I was thinking about, am I going to write something a little bit more long form? Been doing a whole bunch of AI stuff this week. We had all these shows last week, and I'm thinking, If I'm writing something, it wouldn't even be tongue in cheek. I started to write something and saying, here's the good news. So if this is a good news segment, here's the good news, right? They've won three in a row. Their quarterback is upright. They're running back. Everybody's upright, right? But the older players are upright. Good news. The guy they brought in, Draymond Jones, got after. I noticed him more than I noticed Adafi Owe here for 5 years. So in an afternoon. Good news. Kicker's making most of the kicks he's supposed to make, right? I mean, all things aside, he's not Justin Tucker. I'm not expecting him to hit 64-yard field goals in Denver in the snow, right? But special teams better. Go with that. Good news. Good news. Yeah, I don't know. You young players emerging, maybe in the secondary. I mean, give me that. Let's go. Good news here for them. Good news is they're 4-5. Good news is they're playing two crappy teams. Good news is the Steelers stink. Like, there's a lot of good news for them. I'll go through bad news. We'll go through how awful the Vikings were. Like, I'll give you a big boy win. Maybe Shoney's big boy, maybe Wimpy's, but not like a real big boy win. I mean, the big boy.
When I said a big boy win, I meant going on the road against a team that's not terrible,
Oh,
right?
where
I
they
mean,
are
they're
now.
not
Listen,
terrible.
I'm trying to make this a good news
Sure.
segment, right?
But I'm saying,
Like,
but the point is, it's really difficult to win in the National Football League. Case in point, what the Bills did on Sunday, right?
well, dude, if the
So
Vikings weren't jumping off 8 times and that quarterback just throwing the ball up for grabs,
yeah,
literally
I mean,
punting
he
the
looked like
ball.
someone playing in his fourth career game. I mean, there's no question about that. When I said a big boy win, I meant in the context of if you're really anything close to the team that everyone imagined you to be, envisioned you to be at the start of the year, that's the kind of game you win. Like point blank, it
No
doesn't have to
matter
be
what. Right.
perfect.
Yes.
Like you
Yes. I
win it,
agree
and
with
they
that.
did, and they did, and that's why. And specifically, you know, I used the term big boy in description of that drive at the end of the third into the early fourth quarter, where they took time off the clock. They finally got the running game going. They're converting, and they scored 7 points, right? I mean, that the one thing that you could kind of talk about was their red
Well, they
zone
could have lost the
offense.
game last Thursday night down in Miami, and they came out and they played great football for about 15 minutes and won the game. That's something the Buffalo tried all day to do, couldn't do. So
Yeah,
in the rain, all I
exactly.
was watching all of that on Sunday, and I'm like, same thing you're feeling, which is the good news is there's no super teams anywhere in the league, certainly not in the AFC, and it's not his brother's team out in Southern California. Or, I mean, I'm not saying that. The Colts are a pretender, you know, kicking the ball around half the morning in Berlin and finally winning. Covering the spread, too, by the way. It's crazy in this week. We got these baseball players going to prison now. The NBA guy is going to shut that thing down. If Trump doesn't get his name on the stadium down in D.C., he's going to come after the NFL because I'm sure, you know, th this is his game from the government down. And I talk about that the rest of the week. But the notion that baseball and the NBA have been caught up in this gambling thing. I start to watch games like that now, which is crazy. But Colts, don't scare me. Denver, don't scare me. Now, the Patriots, I think differently of Vrabel somehow, some way. I think he's a better football coach than most of the rest of these guys. And I believe that going down to Tennessee, I believed he was going to be a good coach. And this is the second time around for him. He's got an owner that sort of knows what he's doing and getting out of the way and all of that. And it looks like they got a quarterback. So that's the bad news for me. The bad news for me is you're going to have to go back and deal with the lighthouse up in New England the rest of Lamar's tenure, from what I can see with this kid. Now, I would have said that about Cincinnati and Burrow, but he's off the grid because he's hurt, right? But I think the Patriots are more real. If I'm being honest about things that concern me in January that aren't named Buffalo or Kansas City, right? Because I don't think the rest of it concerns you. But, dude, it's 2 weeks before Thanksgiving right now. We're talking about a team that's a sub 500 team that
Yeah.
hasn't put together a half of good football yet. Like the way we envision them, not the way that they freight train teams years ago, just what they were supposed to be now, which is Monken left, Monken right, RPO left, healthy Lamar right. Henry's going to run you over late in the game. They're going to razzle dazzle you. Some of the things we saw in Minnesota on Sunday, Zay Flowers out in space, can't tackle him. Lamar running again, which is feels like last year's last time I saw that, right? And then the fear of like, what's he doing running draw plays? Like, we got better plays than that, don't we? Like, I'm thinking, you know, I also think about that. And I still think And I wrote this down, and it's not my lead, and it's not me being a prick, even though you know I am one. Lamar running is still their best play and their riskiest play. And I keep saying Lamar running, or the threat of Lamar running, is the best thing they have going for them pre-snap every play. Every play, the other team has to be concerned that it is a play designed for Lamar that looks like it's going to someone else, because Lamar is still, when he's right, the number one way that they're going to beat you over the course of the long haul, not on any one given play. The threat of that on every play is something that made them so effective before, that's what you feel when Cooper Rush is in there, or Snoop Huntley's in there, or Gimpy Lamar's in there, and you know he doesn't want to run today. It's like having a horse, you know he doesn't want to run today. Yeah, there's a threat, but not today. And that's when he gets killed, when he can't run, or when you don't want him to run. I'm through. We're 7 years, 8 years into this. I'm finally going to give in to you and Harbaugh and say, let him run. He has to run, because without the threat of him running, or without the reality of him running, they feel more like a regular team with a really crappy offensive line, especially on third and long, which they can't get into. And the way they don't get into third and long is by being effective on first and second down, and that involves number eight.
I mean, it's why they've been as successful as they've been. I don't think it's a negative. I think it's an acknowledgement of reality. Now, that's not an endorsement for Lamar to run 25 times a game, but the threat of him running 25 times a game, the threat of him running every single play
He hasn't
when you're,
felt electric to me. Like,
and
if
that's
I'm a D coordinator and I'm watching and I'm
fair
worried
enough.
about it, but I'm not as worried about it as I used to be in that
Well,
way. And they need to,
maybe.
Munkin needs to design things that
Well,
makes you worry more about it. That's
They
all.
just need to run the ball better in general, right? I mean, Derrick Henry had a pretty pedestrian day, right? Again,
Again, yeah.
and they haven't been very good running the football early in games. Now they've been able to get it going a little bit. I did like the fact that they got Keaton Mitchell involved in the first half. I mean, he disappeared again. Maybe a little bit more of that mixed in, but they're not very good on their offensive line, right? I mean, they haven't been great in what
I
they're
don't
trying
know
to do.
how I can think about them long term like this. You
Well,
know what I mean?
and you
I
know,
keep thinking to myself,
see,
like,
I'm,
I want to blow them kisses today. I want this to be all positive. We'll do a
but
negative
but
segment
who do you
later.
love in the
But
AFC? And look, let me be clear. When I talk about the rest of the AFC, that is not the Ravens are winning the Super Bowl or going to the Super Bowl. That means what it is. It's wide open. So who can get better, right?
You see the 6'8" guard, and you see all of this hope that they've put into the Michigan guy, and even Ben Cleveland is a backup. I mean, they get off the bus, and they're not. I've seen great offensive lines here. I've seen good offensive lines here. I've seen good enough offensive lines here. This is on the body of work below the bar, and I don't know how that changes. I keep wondering, like, how are they going to win against good teams? Like, I don't know how many good teams they're going to play. I really don't. How many good front sevens? And I thought the Vikings had a good front seven. I mean, the
Yeah.
Vikings did a lot of things to
The
beat
Vikings
themselves.
have a
We'll get
good
into that
defense.
later.
I mean,
Yeah, I mean,
their defense is good. Like, they don't look at that performance and say,
the
oh.
Ravens had 12 points until the other team put the ball on the carpet on the special teams. They had 12 points. Like,
Sure.
literally, that's where they were in the second half. So
Sure.
this was not some juggernaut.
It was very early 2000s Ravens-esque.
It
It
stalled a
was,
lot. It
yeah,
stalled a lot. It did.
sure. But
And that's
they
where having Justin Tucker around was good news, right?
Yeah,
You
well,
know, stall at the 34-yard line, no problem. Automatic. Boom. 3 points. Let's
I
go.
mean, I will say that three of those field goals were 30 yards and in. I
But when you
mean,
miss a field goal, you give them the ball at the 50-yard line, too. We saw that.
understood, but kicking field goals inside the red zone that's a loser in the long haul. There's no question about that, and that's why they need to get better with their red zone offense. Their red zone offense is still leaving way too much to desire in terms of, you know, whether we're talking short yardage, whether we're talking about just more confined area, it has to be better, right? It didn't on a day like Sunday where your opponent is in self-destruction mode. Sure. And I will say one of the other things I liked about Sunday's game, because we've talked about this narrative a lot, and even some of the uncomfortable feeling of the last 10 minutes or so where the Ravens didn't put them away, right? Weren't able to sustain a drive to run the clock out. But look at that football game. and see all the mistakes the Vikings made with 8 false starts, 3 turnovers, go down the, McCarthy just not being very good, right? But on the flip side, yeah, the Ravens had some issues in this game. There's no question about that. A couple bad drops, right? Back to back, Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely with drops on a drive where they could have scored a touchdown and they settle for 3 instead. I just talked about some of their red zone woes, but largely the Ravens were the better team in terms of handling themselves, remaining poised, not making colossal mistakes, right? And it's a reminder of what you see in the National Football League on a weekly basis, that not losing the game is sometimes just as good as making the plays, the big plays to win a football game. And that game, the Ravens were the much more composed team. I mean, with all the crowd noise, all the talk about playing indoors there and how loud it gets, I think they had one pre-snap penalty, right? It's really good. So, I mean, the Vikings were the team that, even though I saw there was some,
Inexplicable, by the way. I'd
there were
never
some,
seen
I don't
anything
know.
like it. And that kid, whatever he's doing, I mean, like you could hear it. The stadium is a pin drop when the
Yeah.
Vikings are on offense because their fans are sophisticated. They don't need to put up, make some noise, or the visitors don't like noise, like any of that crap that they do here, that neophyte stuff. The fans there know what they're doing, and they made it quiet. And if I'm running Minnesota radio today, I'm like, the hell are you practicing out there? You
Yeah. Well,
practicing getting your guys to jump? What was that? I don't
yeah,
know.
I mean, whatever their cadence was, clearly you get to a point where you're jumping as often as you are that it's time to just go on a regular count, right? There was some, and look, I don't want to get into this too much because I have nothing to go off of other than some comments. There were some comments that I saw in the post-game Minnesota locker room that alluded to perhaps the Ravens doing some things up front that were aiding in that happening. I have no idea, right? The referees didn't, if the officials didn't call it, they didn't call it, right? But there was a little bit of that kind of post-game talk. And it's tough because you only read the quotes in print. You didn't hear what the tone was. You don't know if these guys were saying it was maybe 10% of the Ravens doing some stuff like that and 90% us still at the end of the day. But that, yeah, that, I mean, that was
Eight
just bizarre.
times
It was
is like
bizarre.
inexplicable,
Oh,
really
and I
inexplicable.
mean, we've talked about it with the Ravens offensive line. I mean, even going back the last couple of years when the Ravens were playing at a much higher level overall and a much higher level offensively, we still would see how debilitating those false starts can be,
Two or
right?
three
Where
times a game it would cost them a
you
drive,
go
and two or
from,
three times a game they have to get in third and 18, and Lamar's got to
sure.
get in the phone booth, right, to get him out of
Yeah.
it.
I mean, no, and I think they even mentioned it early in the game. I mean, you know, the Ravens have actually been amongst the best teams in the league in third and long, but it's relative, right? You might be the best team in the league in third and long, but that doesn't mean that that's going to be your optimal way for how you operate your offense,
Means
right?
you're in it too much.
Yeah, exactly. It means that, yeah, you're overcoming it more than other teams, but that doesn't mean you're overcoming it all the time. So, but the point is with that, when you have a false start, you go from first and 10 to first and 15 or second and 2 to second and 7. I mean, it completely changes the complexion of your drive. So, but that goes back to the point I was making where I'll credit the Ravens for playing in a hostile environment like that, where you are dealing with crowd noise and you are dealing with the tough defense on the other side.
You know what the
And
Vikings needed on Sunday? They needed
they,
Sam Darnold.
yeah, sure.
I'm watching that and I'm like, maybe this kid's okay and I believe in O'Connell and all that, but I just didn't like his responsibility with the football.
Well,
I like.
not just that, but how about the fact that, and he seems to have a good rapport with Naylor, who made some big catches for them, their number three wide receiver. But man, the body language from Justin
It was
Jefferson
awful.
of just,
Awful.
and like they're just not on. I mean, he targeted him 12 times, so it speaks to the idea that it's not as though he's not trying to go his way, but man, they look like two guys that need
He threw
way
the ball a
more
couple
time
times when he
together.
wasn't open, and the ball was nowhere near him, right? So
Yeah,
there's a
so.
little bit of it feels like there's pressure on him to get the ball to that guy because he's on all the commercials and all that stuff. But I'm with you, dude. It was Antonio Brown looking body language.
It was,
Like
yeah.
it was really like, is that guy, is that guy Jerry Maguire? Is that Rod
He
Tidwell? Like,
doesn't have that reputation.
at
At least I
all,
don't think
at
so.
all. He's got Community Man, all of that.
Yeah.
But boy, it felt a lot more hot dog than it did, mustard or ketchup or relish, you know, that's
But
all.
that's where I'll also say, hey, credit the Ravens secondary, right? I mean, this defense is playing better. There's no question about that.
And they're drafted to be that. You know,
Sure, right.
Eric
I mean, like,
DaCosta's put a lot of effort into making the secondary better than it looked the first 7 weeks.
sure, no question. I mean, failure of the Jaire Alexander signing or not, there's still plenty of talent in that secondary. And you know, I'll throw something else out there that I've been critical of. Roquan Smith's playing really good football, and I'll also say Teddy Buchanan is coming on. I think Teddy Buchanan, in terms of playing in space and in coverage and things of that nature, is looking, dare I say, encouraging for a fourth round rookie midway through his rookie season, right? He's showing improvement. Still having some trouble getting off blocks, you know, still not there yet, but looking better. So we've seen the transition of their defense with Gilman coming on, Hamilton moving to the nickel, subsequently being in the box, being at the line of scrimmage far more frequently. We're seeing Roquan Smith back and healthy and playing some of his best football that we've seen in a while. You know, had a would-be interception overturned on, you know, that was a tough one. I mean, I see why they overturned it, but I feel like I see three other catches like that across the NFL every Sunday that's upheld, right? I mean, it speaks to the lack of consistency, but makes a really nice play in coverage there. So their secondary feels like it's righting itself. The second level of the defense feels like it's getting better. The big question remains, can they get enough pressure on the quarterback? And it wasn't great on Sunday, but Draymond Jones, to your point, you noticed him. He got some pressure, had a couple quarterback hits. One guy we haven't talked about a whole lot, I think Travis Jones is starting to come on. I think we've seen him play at a higher level here over the last couple weeks, perhaps a sign that he's over his early season knee injury that he had that cost him some time and I think some effectiveness. But you know, for me, it still comes back to the defensive line and the pass rush, and that's going to continue. But at the same time, I'll remind people, you can go back even 15 years ago. You know, go back to the Greg Maddison era, right? The transition from Rex, Maddison was their defensive coordinator for a couple years, and then they went to Pagano. Go back and look at those teams. Even with Terrell Suggs on that roster, they didn't necessarily have the most formidable pass rush at that point in time. So, look, will that come up if they're facing Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes? Of course. But between now and talking about that hypothetical, you do have a defense that is playing at a higher level. And as we've said for a few weeks now, and you could see this starting with that Rams game, the floor of this defense has risen considerably. Over the first five games, this looked like the 1996 Ravens defense, right? I mean, they couldn't stop anybody. Over these last four games, they've allowed fewer than 20 points, four straight games, and they're playing better. It's still not exactly where you want it. I will continue to have concerns about the pass rush, and even with Draymond Jones joining the fray, I still have concerns about that. But as it pertains to playing JJ McCarthy or the kid in Cleveland or Justin Fields, I suppose in a couple weeks, I you know that you can that what they have going for them defensively will more than play against offenses like that. So again, it goes back to my overall theme. Keep winning games and keep getting better. And meanwhile, we'll all try to sort out what the heck this AFC looks like, right? What it looks like now, what it's going to look like in a month, and what it's going to look like come mid-January. But the Ravens have certainly done some major work to get themselves back to 4-5 when, you know, again, coming out of the bye, if I told you during the bye week that Lamar wasn't going to play against Chicago and reminded that they still had a trip to Minnesota to play the Vikings, 4-5 wasn't a layup when you looked at it at that point in time. So to get to 4-5, good for them. And meanwhile, the Steelers have lost three out of four and right on their heels. And this is a team that has a really good chance now to be not just over 500 by Thanksgiving, but they could be in first place. They could be in sole possession of first place. It just speaks to the nature of the National Football League, especially when you're not playing in a juggernaut of a division. And it speaks to the idea that We were continuing to try to say, even though it felt really difficult at the time, that 1 in 5 was not a death sentence, even though certainly it wasn't ideal. And I'll remind everyone, they still have 5 losses on their ledger. So they have to keep winning. They have to keep, stay healthy. They have to keep getting better. But they're certainly in a way, way, way better position than they were in a month ago. That's stating the obvious.
Well, they have no pedigree of losing these kinds of games to Cleveland and the Jets, right? Like these next 2 weeks feels like, all right, they're going to get over the hump, through this period of time here,
I mean,
and then we.
they have. I agree
The
mostly.
Cincinnati-Pittsburgh thing couldn't set up better for them. They're getting better, and the other teams are getting
But
worse.
keep in mind,
So.
the Browns have beaten them 4 straight years. The Browns have a win over them in 4 straight seasons. So as much as, look, I get it, and their quarterback situation is not good, with a rookie who's worse than JJ McCarthy, right? But they still have a really good defense, and we've seen how this offense has struggled against quality defenses. So, and it's on the road. So look, I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm predicting an upset. No, of course I'm going to pick the Ravens to win, but that message of not getting complacent and not relaxing now just because you're 4 and 5 and you're one game out in the division, you cannot have that mindset going to Cleveland because we've seen it. We've seen last place Browns teams beat the Ravens here even recently. So I agree with your general point, but I just wanted to push back a little bit because they lost to Jameis Winston last year, right? They lost to the Browns being in last place a couple years ago. So,
All right, well, you be on red alert this week. I'll go out and talk to the Cleveland writers and they tell me they have no chance of winning here this week. And
the
again,
offense had no chance against the Bills on Sunday.
correct. Absolutely,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah. I mean,
Any
it's the
given Sunday,
NFL.
you got to be awake. But that's all the more reason that these 5 losses, the scar tissue that we began this with Kyle Hamilton and where they are, is that it feels like there's been, and that's why I changed my backdrop here on my Zoom set for my 27th anniversary. Feels like it's been a little bit of an awakening for them
Yeah.
the last couple of weeks. And I'll still sit here and we did a positive segment here. Now we can go through where the problems still lie for them as far as historically looking at these trenches and saying, what is this and where's the improvement coming from? But to your point, if they go out every week and they're the better team, the next 2 weeks they should roll the ball out and at least be the better team. But they got to go play. He's Luke. He's Baltimore Luca. He's going to be in Owings Mills all week. We're going to be around. We've talked a lot of baseball. We ate a lot of pizza and crinkle cut French fries and cheesesteaks on Friday at Pizza John's. Our friends at the Maryland Lottery have us out on the road on the Maryland Crab Cake. Throw out some fresh dates for the holidays. I'm putting together, right now, I'm just getting the nutmeg and the eggnog together. I'm getting new scratch offs from the Maryland Lottery that are going to be scented, going to smell like candy canes for the holidays. My bag will smell minty and pepperminty. So I'm looking forward to that. I got some new spots we're going to be coming out and doing that as well. It's a big week around here. Ravens are back in business, which is good. The Orioles go into off-season business, and we had long, long chats. Rasig joined us. Ron Cassie from Baltimore Magazine, who's also a baseball seam head, sat with us over some pizza and some crab cakes and whatnot, and a Cobb salad over at Pizza John's on Friday. We had a great conversation. You'll hear all that all week long. Also had some other fantastic guest about a lot of things. AI. I talked to Todd Schuller and Bill Cole about that and youth sports, a whole bunch of stuff. You're going to enjoy it. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. It's big football week around here. Stay with us. We're Baltimore Positive.